And it was two mom and pop owners that owned it. They were actually, I guess you could say, serial entrepreneurs. They had multiple businesses. And the project, this apartment itself had kind of suffered after Hurricane Michael because of they kind of had went hands off working with a contractor that wasn't holding up his end of the contract. There was delayed work completed on the apartment, and the foreman actually walked off with all the documentation and everything from the contractor who was responsible. And so the owner
Wow.
was kind of left, holding a bad bag.
Have you ever asked yourself what can go wrong when investing in apartments? What challenges do investors face when dealing with such a large asset class? Well, on the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast, we place expert professionals on the hot seat, ask them the tough questions that may be running through your mind, all while removing the fluff that comes with apartment investing. We aim to put your mind at ease while showing you that investing in apartments is the way to financial freedom. And now for your host, Mark Caesar.
So welcome back, everyone. My name is Mark Caesar, and this is the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast. And today we have Mr. Johnny Lynam. I hope I pronounced the last name correctly. Awesome. So Mr. Johnny Lynam is an active duty U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, seasoned real estate investor, entrepreneur, and coach. Johnny started his journey in real estate in 2006 and has extensive experience in project management, operations, marketing, and negotiations. Over the last 6 years, Johnny has purchased and sold over two dozen single family properties and one apartment across four different markets. Currently, he has a portfolio valued at over $4.7 million. Johnny also holds a master's degree in business administration from TUI University, bachelor's degree in electrical engineer from the University of Alabama, and financial planning and services certification from Northwestern University. Johnny's first book, Millionaire Real Estate Success Strategies, What They Forgot to Teach You in School, is slated for publishing in December 2021. First and foremost, Johnny, welcome to the podcast. And thank you so much, sir, for your illustrious service in the armed forces.
No problem at all. Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you, bro.
Yes, sir. So, man, I love the story. I love the journey that you've undergone, starting back in 2006 in real estate. Now, if I may, just to kick it off, were you investing in real estate during your service or post service?
Yeah, so all doing my service. So been in almost 16 and a half years in the Air Force. I'm still currently serving right now. And so all this has been in lieu of my service and kind of built a business around real estate investing that kind of kicked off around 2015 when my wife and I, we did our first fix and flip and started actively picking up more rentals and getting more of the renovation and burrs to kind of build up our portfolio. And then, it kind of accelerated the last few years in Panama City, Florida, after Hurricane Michael devastated that area and just helping to build back the community, that it was just a match made in heaven.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit more about yourself outside of this bio that I just read, this amazing bio that I just read.
Yeah. So everything that's not in there, grew up humble beginnings, was born in Detroit, Michigan, moved to rural Alabama with my parents in 1989 when I was 8 years old. And, so grew up there, went to school, the University of Alabama. And for me, my dad was a business owner. He was an entrepreneur. He had his own appliance and electronic repair service that he ran and did that for many, many years. He was a pastor as well. And my mom was a phlebotomist. And so, just grew up humble beginnings, working with my parents were blue collar workers. And they instilled a lot of the values that I kind of embody today with, just hard work. And now I tell people, more smart work as well, too. But just the value of education and information and being able to pick up, whatever the information is that doesn't necessarily have to come in a formal setting. And, so that kind of just grew me into the individual, the man I am today. And, now I have a beautiful wife of 11 years, three kids, and we just kind of been going down this journey together. And, and it's really been a journey and just a process over all these years, just kind of going through the military, moving around every 3 or 4 years, you know, starting to build generational wealth, learning all these strategies and habits that the wealthy use in order to build large portfolios and to build generational wealth, but kind of taking that mindset and just building up over time. And now to the point now, kind of coming to all together with the book that I was able to write this year. And then now just formally coaching and helping other people integrate real estate into their portfolios.
Nice, nice. That is truly awesome. Now, one thing that I do know, I have no military service background whatsoever, but from talking to different military personnel, I do see, like, I do hear a trend, which is a lot of whether active duty or passive duties, there a lot of guys are not really either knowledgeable or they don't know about getting to real estate. So the typical mindset is, okay, you know, get the car and just live life, serve, and then just get out. So my question to you is, why real estate? Like, what is your driving why that shifted your mindset to, okay, you know what, I'm serving, but I want to also have real estate as an income producing vehicle?
Yeah, so really for me, that's a great question, man. It all went back to using my VA loan. And, you know, even before then, I didn't know a whole lot about financial literacy, you know, your credit report, your credit score and things like that. And when I came into the service, I kind of shared that in my book about how I my credit score wasn't the greatest. I actually had to have another family member sign on my apartment lease with me. But that kind of showed me, it was like, you know, here I am, officer in the Air Force and starting off on my career. And I'm like, I can't even get an apartment right now. But I took action. I started rectifying those shortcomings and learning more about it. And fast forward to October of 2006. And a good friend of mine was like, hey, J2, I found this this duplex. He's like, I'm going to buy a side and you need to buy the other side. And I had positioned myself. I had changed my mindset about money, about financial literacy, and started learning. So I was like, okay, you know, this is like $300 less than what I'm paying in rent for my apartment, and I'm going to own it. And they're going to actually, I got over $300 back at closing because it was 100% financing VA loan. And the builder was ready to sell this asset so he could build more. And so he actually put a little bit more in on the closing costs. And so it worked out perfect. So that got me started bullish on investing after I saw the power of that, because I saw what rentals were going for in the area. When I leave out, I PCS, I knew that I could rent it for more than my mortgage payment and taxes and insurance was each month. And so it was a no-brainer. But, you know, like reading books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad from Robert Kiyosaki, that helped change my mindset and just understanding how an investor thinks, how a business owner thinks. And from there, it just kind of dovetailed into, you know, looking how to get after more cash flowing properties, but then also the fix and flip business to generate more income while I still serve active duty, that I could create a business and lead teams in that area to generate more income to invest.
Gotcha. I appreciate you sharing that again. I think you touched a very good point there, which is ownership. One, ownership is very important. That's how a lot of the wealthy are stay wealthy. You know, you can't work your way to wealth. You have to actually start owning things. And another point is to have financial literacy. I think a lot of us, and especially in the school systems today, we don't learn financial literacy. So it's pretty much just, okay, you know, get this trade. I mean, learn this, go work for somebody else, make them rich. So definitely I applaud you taking the action to, you know, become financially knowledgeable and actually applying it to getting your first deal. So now when you started, you say you started with residential. So take us through your first deal. Like, what was that like? You know, the nerves, the feelings, what did you learn and stuff like that?
Yeah. So, you know, on the residential side, my first deal, we did our first fix and flip in Alexandria, Virginia back in 2015. For me, I was kind of mid-career in the Air Force and was negotiating large contracts, doing a lot of things at a high level. And, you know, for me, it was like, okay, we negotiated, over $200 million contract. And you save the government over $10 million, but you don't get a bonus. The military, we don't get bonus checks or anything. So wow. I was like, man, I need to take this skill set and build a business around real estate. I'm working with contractors. I'm leading complex projects. And it's like, okay, I can do the same thing with real estate. And so we took a bet on ourselves. We found a Bank of America foreclosure. we went through on an auction site. We won the bid. We got it. And we went to work, and it was a learning process. But for me, I knew I didn't have time. I had the day job. So I had to hire a lead GC, and I had somebody that was really knowledgeable. And so after I got multiple bids and everything, I aligned myself with the right person. She was willing to show me, because she was formerly an architect. She was willing to show me how to do everything, how to go through, how to build a kitchen, you know, how to do the framing that we need to do. We had to do mold remediation. We had to do a pool remodel, all on the first project. And today is still one of the most extensive projects that we've done to date, but it helped formulate my mindset, my framework on how I actually go about my fix and flips projects. And, you know, and just the whole fix finish process and framework that I use today, it all kind of dovetailed from that initial experience we're going through and just looking at all the different subsystems of a house and to be able to rebuild it into a product that a new homeowner wants to move into.
Man, that sounds like a scary thing to do for your first deal. You're taking such a risk doing a heavy reposition, man. Like, did anything drastic or scary happen in that process that, you know, that was a red flag that, hey, you know, I'm tired. I want to walk away from this. Or did you just have the mindset where, you know what, I started it. I don't care what happens, what hiccups happen. I'm just going to keep riding it out and see it to the finish.
No, that's a great question, man. There wasn't no major surprises because I knew up front as an investor and for me as a project manager, my number one job is to manage risk. And so from that risk management piece, I had a guy that came out that gave me my mold remediation. So I knew up front that was going to be $7,200 off the top. I knew the roof, we had to go in, that the roof didn't need to be replaced. We didn't have to bother with that. The siding didn't need to be touched at all. And the pool, the biggest thing was the pool. I went and talked with a guy, an expert. I didn't have to be the expert, but I went out and he told me, hey, as long as it's water in the pool, it shouldn't be no more between 10 to 15,000, depending on what we have to do with the internals and everything and replacing the pumps. Because the house had been sitting up for over 3 years, which is why the sump pump wasn't working. And so it was a lot of mold in the lower level and we had to go in and remodel. So I had the mold remediation bounded. I had the pool risk bounded because I was able to get in the backyard and make sure water was in the pool. It hadn't collapsed or anything like that. And, you know, and then the rest I knew from the square footage and from my contractor, like, hey, this is what it's going to cost to build back, to go in, reframe up the walls downstairs, come back in, put a new kitchen in and bathrooms. And so with that mindset, and we knew we didn't have to replace the windows. So from there, all the risk was kind of quantified. You know, there really wasn't no termite damage or anything popped up. We didn't do any reconfiguration of the floor plan. So from a risk perspective, we kind of laid that out and, you know, it kind of went with it. And of course, one of the big things, you know, I had management reserve, but the budget was a little bit more than what we wanted to after we actually started executing with the materials, which is fine. But, you know, that's one of the things that you have to bound your risk up front. And it translates right over into apartment investing when we bought our first apartment building that we went through the same process when going through due diligence and going through and understanding what needed to be repaired on the apartment to, you know, getting $25,000 in concessions from the owner and then also having them replace, put $30,000 into the property to replace all the water lines coming in to the 18 units. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, man. I mean, that's incredible because again, you know, things like that, I do see and I do hear stories where people, you know, take on big challenges, but then halfway through, you know, a little hiccup happens and, you know, they just, I quit, I can't do it. So it definitely, again, I always tell people that, you know, it's your grit and your resilience that makes you a savvier investor, especially in this space. You have to learn to know how to navigate challenges. Then that we're problem solvers. So problems are going to come in all facets and all means, and we have to learn how to mitigate those problems. Now, touching base on your first multifamily deal, like, can you tell us a little more about it? How did you come about getting it? Where is it located and so forth?
Yeah, so my first multifamily deal, we did 18 unit in Panama City, Florida. I picked it up after going to a multifamily investing conference down in Orlando back in 2019. And, you know, for me, it changed my mindset about how close I was. That year, we done 9 single family projects. And, you know, so I wasn't that far off from apartment investing, but I didn't know it mentally to make that shift. And so that helped me go get to the understanding of like, hey, how I'll go about, you know, the down payment, building relationships with the banks. And, you know, from there, 45 days later, I put my first LOI in. I found this 18 unit that had been on the MLS over 90 days. And, you know, from there, you know, I walked the property about 30 days later after the holidays. And, you know, it took about 60 days before we actually got it under contract. And it was two mom and pop owners that owned it. They were actually, I guess you could say, serial entrepreneurs. They had multiple businesses. And the project, this apartment itself had kind of suffered after Hurricane Michael because of they kind of had went hands off working with a contractor that wasn't holding up his end of the contract. There was delayed work completed on the apartment, and the foreman actually walked off with all the documentation and everything from the contractor who was responsible. And so the owner wow. was kind of left, you know, holding a bad bag. And, you know, that was the opportunity for us to step in, and we negotiated a really favorable price that was well under the appraised value. And we took it over kind of midstream. So it was currently rented with 14 of the 18 units rented out. And then they had individual insurance policies on each one of the quadruplexes. And then it was a duplex. And so we had to work, and we took over the insurance claim and got paid out a few months ago, mid 2021. And so that gave $50,000 for the renovation of that fourth building that we didn't have to come up with. And so it worked out pretty good. And, you know, with me, and I brought on a few partners, two GPs, and we ended up keeping the equity side of it and just raised a second position debt lien against the property for 2 years that we worked with our local community bank. And they said, hey, as long as you bring in at least 5% down, then you can do a second position lien on it. And so I raised $95,000 of my $210,000 down payment. And I ended up keeping 77% of the equity and brought on a couple partners that helped raise money on my GP slide. And then one of my good friends from college, he wanted to get in. And so I gave him 5% as well to ownership in the apartment building. And, you know, and we took it down and operated. And it's been a blessing, especially to take that asset down during the pandemic, going under the contract 3 weeks before the country shut down, starting to shut down the end of March. And then to kind of have a good business partner on the finances side with our lender, with our local credit union, that was, they were steadfast. They weren't changing, because on the hard money side, things stopped where people were trying to figure out how to orient into this new pandemic that was kicking off. And mm-hmm. so we were able to still go through and execute with the business plan and purchase in the middle of the pandemic, and then just strategic partnerships with like the housing development government there with the housing authority in order to bring in some Section 8 tenants to make sure that we were able to weather the pandemic by having some government income coming in monthly, whereas that if some of the tenant base, since it was a C-class property, were in a position where they lost jobs and weren't able to pay, we would still have enough income coming in to make our debt service coverage.
Okay, so that's good. You guys weren't heavily affected by the pandemic or the moratorium now. How is the asset working for you guys now? Is it still, you know, positive? Is this there's still upside, or are you guys facing any issues with that asset and tenants?
No, so it's been a blessing. I took over property management since I was there in the local area for the first 5 months, and then I subsequently left with the Air Force. They sent me to Northern Virginia. And so when I transferred that over to a property manager, because I wanted to get that experience hands on. And so it's been a blessing. We worked out. Our collection on average was around 85% through the pandemic. The last couple of months, we've been back up to over 95% for his rent collection. And we should be bringing on those last four units. It took over a year to get that $50,000 from the insurance company, but we'll be bringing those last four units online here before the end of calendar year 2021. And get it to 100% occupancy. And then we're going to look to refinance into a fixed rate, more long-term debt. Because going into the acquisition, I knew that I wanted to keep this asset long-term for at least 7 to 10 years, just for the passive income, the cash flow. And so that was one of the reasons why I didn't go the traditional syndication route, that I looked to just raise a second position, a two-year note, and find investors that were looking to, you know, have a more two-year type of commitment more than a long-term 5 to 7 year business plan to have their money tied up. And so we raised the money. We gave them a 7% cash on cash return paid out quarterly. And then there's a $20,000 equity kicker when we refinance that they'll go. And so it'll work out to about a 17% return each year for those 2 years as we go through and execute the business plan.
Nice. That is way more than anyone is getting right now from the banks or in the stock market, honestly. So congratulations on that. Now, I always ask people this question, especially based on the name of the show, No BS Apartment Investing. Can you tell us a situation throughout your investing career, whether on the multifamily side or the single family side, that you've had experience that went totally awry, that went totally left field, that you did not see coming, and it was it might have been scary, or, you know, I know you military men are very strong, so that you guys, that pretty much just threw you out of whack, and how did you navigate it, and how did it help you become a more savvier and a better investor?
No, that's an awesome question, man. For me, it was going through the due diligence and the capital raise for the apartment building, whereas the pandemic kicked off. And so some of the investors that I had talked with, you know, it was like, hey, yep, they were in, you know, looking to invest. But when the pandemic happened, we were already under contract, and I knew I wanted to buy the asset. And so it was like, I had a couple of people that were like, hey, yep, you know, got this set aside. And but when the stock market crashed, you know, states started shutting down, you know, attorney practices were closing and things like that, that it kind of people had to pause on what they were doing and investing. So for me, it got dynamic because I was in a position where is that we could pay the whole down payment, but it was going to probably bring my flipping business to a screeching halt if I had to deploy all that cash into a down payment. And so what I ended up doing, I partnered up with one of the guys in my mastermind group, and he was like, hey, I want to get GP experience as well, too. And so I was like, OK, well, boom, you know, it works out. And so he ended up raising $75,000 of that $95,000. And I gave him 18% ownership of the apartment, and it worked out. So now I didn't have to bring a full $210,000 down payment, but now I can kind of step back and raise $95,000 and still keep the fix and flip business going and everything, and still buy this asset. And it kind of lowered our risk, whereas that now it's not me 100% ownership, that is kind of hedged if, you know, if something actually did happen and took a turn for the worse. But it's been a blessing. So that was the biggest thing, just going through that process. It was a little scary. Had to lean on faith and, you know, and just execute and leverage my network to get the deal done.
Well said. Well said. Definitely. I like the fact that you had to lean on faith first and foremost. I'm a man of faith myself. So I, you have to be grounded and rooted. And of course, your network is the next important thing. You know, you, as you mentioned earlier, you can't do everything by yourself. You definitely need other people to help you get across the finish line. So congratulations on that. And for all those who are listening, take a note. Always have some people to help you. You don't ever be the smartest person in the room. Always have other people who are smarter than you, because they can definitely help you get to where you want to go faster. So what is next for you, Johnny? What's next for your company, for you know, multifamily and the flipping business?
Yeah, so the flipping business is still going strong in Panama City, Florida. The next thing for me is my book coming out here late 2021, the Kindle version. Then in January, the paperback, Millionaire Real Estate Success Strategies, What They Forgot to Teach You in School. So really bringing that out. My coaching program is taking off with just helping busy professionals integrate real estate into their portfolio. You know, whether it's, you know, they're looking at fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or they're looking to burr, or just buy turnkey rental properties, or if they want to be completely passive, looking at helping them understand how to orient themselves into apartment investing or self-storage investing or mobile home investing. And so that's really just more that education piece that I'm bringing as well, too. And then just getting out and, you know, and just talking with as many people about financial literacy and just helping the next generation kind of start building wealth and kind of have that wealth creation mindset at an early age. And so, you know, just, you know, looking to partner with other organizations to kind of help our youth and those going into college to kind of start thinking about some of these concepts that you and I know that we've picked up at an earlier age.
Yeah. Great thing, man. So what inspired the book? Like what made you say, hey, you know, I want to write a book going against the traditional norms that we see in America today, which is, as I mentioned earlier, go to school, get a good job, and that's it, and retire.
Yeah. So with me, man, I can't say that I just chose to go do write a book. I could present the opportunity on LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn. And a Colonel friend of mine had wrote her book. And so I was congratulating her on her book release and everything. And the professor that was over her program chimed in on the comments. He was like, hey, if you're serious about this, we just kicked off the next cohort. We kicked it off last week and it's still time that you can come in. And I was like, okay. And I came up with every excuse. I'm like, hey, I've got my fix and flip business. We're going to do 15 projects this year. And I'm doing it all virtually. I got a family. We just relocated 2 months ago. I came up with every excuse in the book. And he shot him down. And my wife, more importantly, shot him down. She's like, you can do this. Like, don't worry about that. You can find the time. And I'm an engineer, so I'm not really creative, the writing type like that. But their program, and this was through Georgetown University, Creators Institute, and phenomenal program. And so I went through it and just kind of wrote about my passion with real estate investing and kind of went through that whole process. And I'm so thankful that I did, because I didn't even know, you know, where I'm at today when I started. Just kind of the final product and going through that is definitely, looking back on it, a major accomplishment.
Nice. Congratulations for taking that step and getting out of your own head. And of course, having that support system to shoot down the excuses is super major, man, because I'm guilty of it. You know, if I get caught in my head and make excuses, I'll live and die by those excuses. But of course, you know, execution is awesome. So yeah, man, I'm definitely looking forward to the book. Again, it's called Millionaire Real Estate Success Strategies, What They Forgot to Teach You in School. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to it. I will invest it in it, and I will support a fellow soldier as well. I'm ready to learn, you know, a little bit more about financial literacy. I try to preach it as much as I can. You know, you want to learn about money. You want to learn how money works. You want to learn how to make money, how to keep money, and of course, how to grow your wealth. That is very important in the journey. Now, Johnny, a few questions. We're coming down towards the end of the show here. So what tips would you have for people who are considering real estate investing?
Yep. I think number one is take action. Take action. The best time to buy real estate was yesterday. It's sometime in the past. So you got to take action. You can't procrastinate, and really look at how can you align yourself with the right people that have what it is, or they are in a place where you want to go. Align with those people. Get in the room with those people, whether it's mentorship, whether it's networking at seminars, whether it's a local meetup. But get in the room with people that are doing whatever it is that you want to do. If real estate investing is important, then you got to make it a priority. In wealth creation for you and your family is important, yeah. And you got to make it a priority. So put it on your schedule and figure out what it is, those rooms that you need to get into, those conversations to do that. Because I'll tell you, joining mastermind groups the last couple of years have just changed my net worth and my trajectory tremendously. We just be having like-minded people, whether it's investors or other business owners, just pushing you to be accountable and pushing you to your limits on what your goals are and what you actually can do, that I think it'll be game changing for anybody's life.
Great insight. I definitely would say the same thing if someone asked me the same question. So I definitely concur with that. Now, a few speed round questions that we typically have for our listeners. The first one is, what is the book, your favorite book of all time, that has had the greatest impact on your life?
Yep. Great question, man. And I mentioned it earlier. It's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Just for that mindset that before you can help somebody or do anything else, you got to help yourself. And for that mindset and getting the mindset of an investor, of a business owner, understanding what you've been taught before may not be the gospel, and it may not. And there's other concepts out there that you can leverage to do more and to go where you want to go. And so that opened my mind up about that, and just really, you know, changed my trajectory. And it sparked that fire, and then it just kind of took a blaze of itself then.
Gotcha. I love that book, man. I think that book kicked me off in 2012, and it's just like, okay, I don't want to work a job no more. I definitely want to, you know, have my passive income surpass my expenses. So yeah, great book, man. What is the biggest lesson you've learned throughout your journey as an entrepreneur in the real estate space?
I think it's teamwork, the teamwork and networking concept. And I talk about it in the book. It was just about the power of networking and masterminds and, you know, just aligning yourself with a team. And more so on the multifamily side is definitely a team concept. When you start looking at any real estate transaction, single family, multifamily, you got real estate agents, brokers, you got attorneys, that title companies that do help with the closing. You got inspectors that help you with your due diligence. You got your contractors that do the renovation, and you got your property managers that manage the asset. And then, you know, you got yourself as the CEO of your business, the CEO of your portfolio, that you got to be an asset manager that's managing risk. You got to continue to invest in other groups and other knowledge and professional development to keep your mindset growing in order to be able to do that. So there's a lot of people, a lot of team that goes in to execute to make real estate successful, to have a successful business plan. So I think that's that whole teamwork concept, that you can't do everything. Just pay professionals that are great at it and be able to leverage them. And for me, it was virtual assistants. That was the big one. It was like, oh, I can get somebody across the world helping me do tasks. That really, really helps. So I think people need to understand that this is a team approach and don't try to go and do everything by yourself.
Well said. So what do you think sets apart successful investors from those who give up, fail, or never even get started at all?
No, I think hands down, and I talked about this in the book as well. You know, it's taking action, man. You got to take action. That's what happens. You know, for anybody, we can all watch the we can watch it on YouTube, podcasts, read books, you know, go to seminars, but you got to take action. That's what separates, because everybody's getting all the same information. But from what I found, you know, and people getting coaching as well too, but only 10%, they say roughly only 10% actually implement. And that's the thing, that you just got to take action and then align yourself with, have a network that can help you when you run into problems, that you're not trying to go through and figure stuff out by yourself, that you have a network that can support you when you hit issues and can kind of push you through it and help you overcome any adversity that comes your way. So you got to take action, number one, because time is not promised to anybody and you never know when your last day is. And we owe it to our families to do everything we can today in order to make their tomorrow better. So
I love that. I love that. And if you guys didn't catch the shameless plug here, go get the book. Get the book when it comes out. I will. Now, two more questions for you. If you had to start over, but with the knowledge you have now, what would you have done differently?
I would have bought, when I bought my first property, I would have been looking for a fourplex. I would have used my VA loan, 100% financing, and bought a fourplex as my first property versus just one unit. Hands down, that's what I would have done differently. And would have just started investing in multifamily soon. So,
gotcha. Now, what is your favorite hobby outside of real estate?
Travel, hanging out with the family, traveling, you know, bringing them along and just spending time with them and just really seeing my kids and just exposing them to more and more. Whereas that my first time going out the country, I was like 25, 26 years old. And, you know, my 2-year-old, when he was 2, he went out of the country, and my daughter was 6 months old. You went overseas to Europe. So it's just that that being able to affect the next generation and help them be able to do experience life and just at its fullest is kind of my goal. So really traveling and exposing them to things in life that can help them and just broaden their horizon is my number one goal.
Nice, nice. So, Johnny, if anyone wanted to get in contact with you or touch base, how would they go about doing so?
Yeah, so on LinkedIn, Johnny Lynam. On Instagram, The Military CEO. You can find me there. And then on my website, johnnylynam.com, that kind of see everything that we, for as the coaching, the book out there, you know, some of our passive investing opportunity, that's all there on the website.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Johnny, I want to thank you so much, sir, for taking time out of your schedule to educate our listeners and to sharing your story and your journey with us. For sure. I truly learned a lot from it. And of course, all the information and Johnny's contact information, everything that he spoke about will be in the show notes. So keep a lookout for that. And again, guys, to your success, my name is Mark Caesar, and this has been another episode of the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in. And I hope you've gotten massive value from this episode. But before you leave, subscribe, download, and leave us your 5-star review. as we want to continue pumping you with massive value and content on the No BS Apartment Investing Podcast. Until next time.